Save big on all your back-to-school needs, all in the Kroger app. Get three-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean ground beef for $3.99 a pound with your card. Then get Oreo cookies, Chips Ahoy, or Kool-Aid jammers for $1.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Gigantic. Hey, everybody. It is Friday, July 19th, 2024. I'm Glenn Rubenstein. This is Gigantic Pop, joined by Matt Morgan and Raj Giri. The three of us back together again. And like, summer's halfway over. When did this happen?
When you went on vacation. How was your vacation?
It was good, man. I got to go to the South Shore, the North Shore. It was great, man. Turtle Bay is lovely. Alani was great. When we booked the room, we told everybody at the hotel that Forgetting Sarah Marshall was like our favorite movie. And they put us in one of the rooms from the movie, the one where Sarah Marshall stayed. So it was really cool.
Great movie.
Yeah, it was really cool, man. Can't complain. But just did nothing for a week. Sat and looked at the ocean. So it was nice.
Nice.
Yeah, but good to be back here with you guys. Yeah. So I'm out of the loop. What's going on? What's going on in the world of wrestling and stuff?
Raj?
Actually, it's been kind of slow the last couple of weeks. The big news, I think, right now is the Motor City Machine Guns are rumored to be on their way to WWE, signing, either have signed or close to signing. So,
Hell yeah. Them versus the Rascals would be an insane match.
Yeah, Alex Shelley, Chris Sabin, veterans probably don't need NXT. But
don't you think that's why they're bringing them in? You think they're going to put them? They don't do anything with their tag division on the main shows. They don't give a crap about the tag. So, I mean,
yeah. You
don't think they put them in NXT to get some of these guys more ready?
I'm pretty sure that's where they're headed. Yeah.
They don't need it, obviously. Yeah, right. They don't need it. But this is my company. I'd put them on television tomorrow, like SmackDown or Raw, because they're that talented. They're that good. As a tag,
did you work with them at all?
Yeah, hundreds of times.
Yeah. Okay.
Love Alex Shelley and Chris. They're both great guys. I hung out with them a little bit backstage in between like the shows and stuff. Liked them a lot, actually.
Nice.
So, Matt, between Joe Hendry being like all over NXT, people still talking about Jordan Grace. I mean, do you feel vindicated that TNA in the year 2024 is the hottest thing in pro wrestling?
Yes, I do. Because there was this time when it was like TNA LOL, right? It was during the end of that Dixie Carter, Hulk Hogan, Eric Bischoff run, like a little bit afterwards, after that. You know, but and so now, you know, they're doing good. They've always were a great company, though, like as far as TV shows go. I always compare 2007, 2008, 2009. I'll put up against anything WWE is putting out there at the time with our roster and even our storylines, even for TNA. So I'm glad they got their name back. Glad they're doing good things with them. I do think they will be eventually, you know, swallowed by WWE, and I think that's going to be a good thing. I think, and I'm hoping they'll use it as another not tertiary, but another, like a fourth brand, a step, but maybe before NXT, if you will, or something like that. I'm hoping, but
yeah,
you know, that's all just gossip.
Well, I mean, Raj, you softened on your stance a little bit about WWE having a vested interest in putting a ring on this.
No, not at all. I definitely don't think they'll do it, especially with the UFC lawsuit that they have with the Kung Lee lawsuit, and they're ordered to pay, you know, $300-something million. The judge turned that down because he feels like that settlement is too low, you know, antitrust, all this stuff. So I don't think WWE wants to acquire any more companies, wants to take any competition, wants to be seen as
taking
out of the market.
As giving these people shots and like, hey, look what we did for this little minor company. We got them on our television show. That's how much we don't have a monopoly.
Yeah, exactly. It shows they're working with other companies. They're not a monopoly. They're not, you know, like they're putting their best foot forward. And I think that it has way more to do with that. It's because it's not just TNA now. They're working with a bunch of other companies.
Yeah.
And
I mean, so, how could they say
I think it's a smart move.
But how can they say that with AEW out there now?
Well, like, they could say, I mean, if they're still seeing seeing acquiring other companies, because one of the things was UFC acquiring Strikeforce and Pride, mm-hmm. you know, in that lawsuit. And so as basically showing like you're the monopoly in this industry, even with AEW there, WWE is so far and way ahead. And if they're still acquiring companies, it just looks bad. So, you know, I could see them loaning money to TNA. I could see them.
Because they got to do something with TNA. They got to do something with them. They're not making money. I know that.
Yeah. And Glenn, to your point, I wouldn't say TNA is the hottest thing in wrestling. They are the hottest thing they've been in a long time.
Watch your mouth. Glenn, say it again. Say it
TNA is the hottest thing in pro wrestling right now. Every day when I wake up, that's what people are talking about. More people are excited about Joe Hendry and NXT than they are about Cody Rhodes versus Solo Sikoa at SummerSlam.
Do you know their show does Raj, about 100,000 viewers compared to
I know. I can't
Raj,
figure
he's
it
not
out.
Wrong. If you look at the amount of traffic on YouTube Shorts, Instagram stories, not views, what the hell they called reels, I'm so stupid and old reels, there's much more traffic on Joe Hendry doing his stuff with NXT than there is Cody versus Solo, the build-up.
I don't know about that, but again, it's Joe Hendry in NXT, not Joe Hendry in TNA. His TNA stuff's not
good. Yes.
That's where it's like I can't figure this out. Joe Hendry has the most 2015 NXT gimmick. Like, this is bad. I mean, it is. This is like Blue Pants, Adam Rose, Enzo and the Rascal Scooter. This is like all that rolled into one.
No, it's above that. Like, the making the songs
those are
and
bad.
Everything.
I love all those gimmicks, by the way. I'm not putting those down at all.
Yeah.
Right. I know. And I'm not saying you're dogging them. I'm just saying, like, Adam Rose, you knew that was going to have a limited shelf life on the roster. The Vaudevillains. Joe Hendry, I don't. I could see him using that to become a star and then transitioning. But he's not, like, so limited to that gimmick, like, you know, like the honky tonk.
Could be. And this is going to seem like hyperbole and a huge exaggeration. We're going to come back 2 years and probably clown me at saying this next sentence. But this could be like John Cena's, you know, Dr. Thugonomics character that he really needed. He needed that and eventually morphed into the John Cena we know today, right? I mean, that could be this for Joe Hendry. The entrance and what he does, you know, all that stuff, his shtick. Eventually, because he's got everything, he's good in the ring. It's not like he's crappy in the ring or something. He can work,
right?
And he cuts good promos. He knows how to turn up the heat in the match. He knows how to gear shift. He's got to work on a new finisher. His finisher is like a choke slam. It's pretty boring. He's got to get a different finisher.
The funny thing is, and this is where AEW I think has lost a lot of ground. AEW argued for the better part of the last 5 years, wrestling first, storylines, characters, and I would even say gimmicks take a back seat. But I think LA Knight and Joe Hendry have proven that gimmicks can do more for you than anything else in pro wrestling. You have to be able to deliver in the ring, but a strong gimmick gets you over.
Well, I don't know if it's so much gimmick as it is character.
Well, there's both mixed. That's a little mishmashed in between. Yeah. I would say, you know,
right?
I mean?
But, you know, like I look at like Stone Cold as a character, The Godfather is a gimmick. You know what I mean? Like, there's the gimmick is more you're playing something, whereas a character is kind of yourself, just kind of amped up and
well, that was Godfather amped up. I mean, wasn't a legitimate pimp, but he comes from the strip club industry.
Yeah, I mean, but you know what legally be.
Let me give you a better example. AJ Styles was a 5-star match wrestler, millions of times at TNA, a few different times, I'm sure. Internet darling, right? Everybody in the internet loved AJ Styles, you know, high spots and all the incredible crap he can do off the top rope and everything he can do athletically in that ring. Comes to WWE. What was the difference maker that eventually got him to that next level to be a world champion and eventually a Hall of Famer? Was his character development, because they put a microphone in his face. They started working on his promos immediately. And Vince told him, you need to be a pit bull. You need to be a pit bull in this ring. You can do all that other stuff. Just play. They taught him how to place his stuff in different parts of the match where it would mean more. And his character took off. His most character he's had, I would argue, in his career. And look what's happened. You know what I mean? So there's definitely character has to come. Just has to come first. You know, it's why AEW misses the mark all the time.
Yeah, and with AJ too. I mean, when they did try in TNA, there were some bad ideas they had for him. Like, remember when they were trying to put him in that Ric Flair robe and the wig, and try to have him do the Ric Flair shtick? They weren't allowing him to be himself. They were trying to make him someone else, and that never works.
And they gave him the worst T-shirt ever.
I don't remember. What was his T-shirt?
I'm not going to describe it because
we're
a family show, but it did not look. Did not look G-rated. Let's just say
yeah,
it was bad. I think this is why AEW to rebound needs to sign the best in the world, Shane McMahon, and I think everything will course correct.
Best in the world.
He's the best in the world.
That's right. He is technically right.
Yeah,
I mean, put him over. It wouldn't be the craziest thing in the world, you know.
I'm telling you, it's shockingly possible.
It would be the craziest thing in AEW that's happened since. Yeah, it would probably be the craziest sign. Having a McMahon on the show.
Absolutely. Okay, so I'm going to. I've got the AJ shirt here to remind the people. There we go. It's not working.
I going to say? AEW's got some cool stuff. They got some storylines right now with the Mariah May storyline. I'm a fan of. What's wrong with what am I missing on that T-shirt?
Yeah,
think about it.
Hang on, don't say nothing. Do I have to look at it blurry-eyed or something?
No. Just you
what
can
the
think
hell does
it's
that
wet.
Even say? I see the A.
It says AJ. Yeah, I mean, okay. It's
you're
wet.
You're
paint,
saying it looks like a money shot? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you know, O-Town wrote a song called Liquid Dreams, and I think
I remember that.
AJ
Sure reality show
is the embodiment of Liquid Dreams.
I watched the reality show that. I usually like that show. It was on Friday night.
Making the band. I mean, the second Making the Band memorable, although I don't think we want to watch it in hindsight. But yes, the original Making Band was actually it's funny, Matt, because Making the Band with O-Town that movie. Was like that segued right into Tough Enough.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
That was,
yeah,
you know,
right,
yeah.
Actually.
I mean, the era of reality.
Yeah, it was huge.
Very interesting.
Very good cookie.
Think about that.
Dylon, name the top five rappers of all time. Dylon. You're too close, man. The funniest. Dude, this is the funniest thing ever.
It is. I watched that Chappelle Show sketch probably once every 6 months.
He makes me cry.
It's so good. It's so good. So SummerSlam is like 2 weeks away. They're taping two shows tonight for SmackDown.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because they're going to be in Japan next week. So.
So is tonight's episode of SmackDown not live? You're saying it's already been taped?
No, the one that's airing will be live. And then they're also taping one after, I believe.
Okay. I thought it was before. Because there's already like a recap online about it.
Oh, okay. Then there you go. Yeah, I guess that's
even weirder.
And speaking of SmackDown, just transitioning a little bit, I still very happy with what they've been doing with our boy Jacob Fatu. He's already his first month in the company. He's already on a freaking pay per view poster for SummerSlam. Did you guys see that?
Yeah. That's a pretty cool poster.
It's a pretty sweet poster. Yeah. I do think Jacob should be the one either driving or in solo seat, but I'll digress.
or giving him a look like he should be driving.
Yeah, okay. There you go. Yeah.
So yeah. Is Roman coming back at SummerSlam? Is that 100%?
It's not 100%, but I think everyone's assuming that.
Okay. Let me ask you guys a question. Do you guys feel it's too soon? I know fans are dying for him, but...
I don't think you want to miss that peak. And I kind of feel like they're peaking. So I almost think it's the perfect time.
So when was WrestleMania? What month? April?
April. Early April.
May, June, July. When is it?
Kind of 4 months.
Is it 4 months? Is the pay-per-view in August? SummerSlam?
Yeah. August 3rd.
Four months.
August 3rd?
There.
Yeah, 2 weeks from tomorrow.
Yeah.
All right. That's a third of the year. Okay. Yeah, that's, you're right.
Yeah. Are we doing a post-SummerSlam show?
I hope so. Sure.
All right.
I might be out of town, but I'll make it work.
Okay.
Yeah. But no, I think, okay, so the Bloodline story needs Roman. Like, I think it is a little early for him to come back, but the problem is they've kept the Bloodline story so front and center. They put Solo in this position that he was not ready for yet. Like, Jacob is the best thing about the Bloodline, hands down. If Roman doesn't come back in advance this soon, like, we desperately need to put this to course correct this storyline.
Do you, okay, so then if you're booking, Glenn, do you bring Roman back? Get everybody all excited, but they injure him. The Bloodline injures him.
Oh.
So now he can be out another couple of months.
That would be so cruel.
I think it'd make Roman look bad, though.
How pissed would the fans be, dude?
Matt, do you remember when Coy and Vance were on the Dukes of Hazzard and they brought back Bo and Luke? Could you imagine if they brought back Bo and Luke and then they drove off and like he got in a car crash and it was like, oh, Bo and Luke are going to be, we got Coy and Vance for another season. Bo
and Luke. Hell of an analogy. Most of our viewers, you should know this. You guys should know this, what he's talking about, because it's actually
pretty good. Yeah, but see, you can't do that. There was a rumor
when Bo and Luke left. I remember when I was a kid, there was this rumor that Bo had gotten run over during.
There was always somebody dead.
He died, and then so they pulled him and Luke off because Luke had messed up in the scene, and so they brought in two guys. And then you know when Bo and Luke came back, I was like, what? You know, it was pretty awesome.
Up until that point in my life, I didn't get entertainment news. I didn't know they were coming back. So when I was just watching the Dukes of Hazzard that week, because I was pretty ride or die for that show, and they showed up, I must have been 6 or 7. Up until that time, I would argue that was probably the best single day of my life.
Bro, Friday nights when we were kids was the best, dude. We had Dukes. Yeah. We had Hulk.
Hulk was awesome.
Misfits of Science, V the Final Battle, or V the Series.
V the Series. I trade in cards for that.
Yeah.
Three's Company.
Fridays were legit. I thought Three's Company was on Tuesdays.
Yeah, that wasn't.
It was I was thinking just shows.
In general? No, Friday night.
Oh, it's just shows in general.
Oh, okay.
Thursday night's comedy was fantastic, though, with Cheers and Family Ties.
Yeah. Yes, Cosby Show, Night Court.
Cosby Show, Night Court. Yeah.
Cosby Show. Yeah, I don't think you're allowed to say it anymore, but.
But when we were kids,
that was a phenomenon.
Showing it.
Are they still really?
Yeah, TV One, I think. Like when I'm flipping them, like the Cosby Show's on.
Jesus.
Yes, it's awkward. I mean, but it's kind of like the WWE situation, right? And looking at WWE history, it's like you have to respect all the other parts that went into this, aside from like one person who you really don't want to give any credit or glory to, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Real quick, anyhow, Grandmaster saying, "By God, I watch your show
right now."
I can't do Jim Ross. By God, I watch your shows a lot, but first time I've managed to catch you live. Big up from Vietnam.
Wow, nice.
Yeah, awesome! Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Speaking of SummerSlam, one of the big storylines has been Dom and Rhea in Liv, and that and Rhea, one of the big matches. On the show, Sean Garner asking, "Hey guys, do you think Dom turns up at SummerSlam?"
Yes.
I mean, it makes sense now for Rhea to be a babyface.
It does.
And in Judgment Day, it kind of changes that group. It kind of gives it a shot in the arm in a weird way.
It does work. Let me ask you guys a question. With her being Rhea, Rhea's in-ring promo past Monday night, do you think the fans were really going bonkers for her? Like, even though she's a top flight main event babyface, I feel like the fans weren't popping for her as much as they should have. No?
I thought so. And I thought, the whole rating for that show, like, it did pretty well considering the competition that it had that night. It was the home run derby, I believe.
I mean, the fans in the arena. I mean, that's what I mean.
Weird, because the week before they went crazy for her when she showed
up. When her music hit, yeah.
Yeah. So it could be just that crowd seemed kind of cold a lot of the show, right?
I hope that's all it is because she's money. She's so money.
Yeah. No, I think it's great she's back. I mean, I feel like she healed up really fast. I mean, CM Punk, you know, that was shocking at WrestleMania when he took the elbow, the tricep brace off. So are we going to get him in the ring at SummerSlam?
So right now it looks like the plan, CM Punk was in Orlando trying to get cleared. They believe he will get cleared. So it's going to be him and Drew at SummerSlam with Seth Rollins as the special guest referee.
Ooh, that's a great match. It's going to be a very good story. Some good storytelling.
I mean, I think you guys remember, you remember SummerSlam 97 with Bret Hart, Shawn, and Undertaker?
Yes.
Bret versus Undertaker and Shawn was the ref. That's kind of what
hit him in the head with a chair, cost Taker the title.
Yeah, it's Hawk Loogie and Shawn Michaels' face.
Okay. I mean, so if Solo and Cody goes last, it's because Roman's showing up to close SummerSlam. That's going to be the go-home moment.
Yeah.
But this is the co-main event in my mind. I mean, like Punk and Drew, like that's huge.
I think it is. Yeah.
So who wins that then? Punk or Drew? And does Rollins obviously hates Punk more than he does Drew.
It's true.
But Shawn hates Bret, hated Bret more than Taker, and Bret got the win.
I don't. Punk is Punk yet to get a win on TV?
No.
He already has a win on TV?
No, he doesn't.
Oh, he doesn't.
So he hasn't had a match on TV yet, other than the Royal Rumble. Right.
Rumble, yeah.
I think he needs to get a win, obviously, but I just don't know if it does any favors to have Drew lose. So I think if Seth is the referee, there's some schmoz shit that can happen where Seth's attempt to fuck over CM Punk fails and fucks over Drew.
Yeah.
But there's only so much fucking over Drew you can do as well.
I know, at a certain point.
Drew hasn't won a pay-per-view match. He's won a pay-per-view match only to lose it later.
Right,
like winning Money in the Bank only to not win the title later in the show. I still think Punk wins. I think Rollins goes to try to screw Punk, but it backfires. I think they do the Bret Taker Shawn thing. They do an homage to that and end up with Punk winning. And Drew's pissed at both. And you kind of have the three of them working together through Mania. And then you finally go with Rollins versus Punk in a singles match.
I don't think Drew can lose the angle, though.
Yeah.
It would be interesting to have Drew lose or Drew win the angle, and then they pivot to Punk versus Seth. Mm-hmm. And then after Punk beats Seth, because Seth can withstand the loss, after Punk beats Seth, then Punk comes back and goes back to Drew one-on-one, no interference, whatever, yada, yada.
I mean, with how hot this Punk-Drew feud has been, it's definitely not a one and done. You know, there's going to be more.
So, look what they've done with both of these guys. Look what they've done with both of these guys not being able to work without, you know what I mean? Just the art of the promo has carried this angle so perfectly. And I like it, actually, because my favorite part about CM Punk is the promos.
Yeah.
I mean, they have made this arguably right now the hottest feud in wrestling, and one of the guys hasn't wrestled yet.
So, yes.
You know, a real match on TV.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
And
exciting, man.
We were talking about Solo and Roman. How do you bring him back? Do you have the bloodline killing everyone? And then Roman comes, Roman's music hits, has the stare down with Solo, and then Cody gets the win?
I don't know. I really can't. I can't even fathom what it would be. I think the match has to happen. It has to be over. Cody wins, beats Solo. And then they start beating Cody up after the match. Then Roman's music hits. Maybe do that stare down thing.
Yeah. And then also with the bloodline, speaking of which, we were talking about Motor City Machine Gun signing with WWE, or they're believed to be heading to WWE. Hikuleo also signed by WWE. So you got to assume he'll be in that bloodline feud.
Hasn't he been signed for like a month now or so since when they signed Jacob or no?
I think he's been talking with them, but I don't know if he was officially signed. But
oh, wow. Yeah, like I think he's 6'8", very, very tall. I would have brought him up first, honestly, just because he could have then been the muscle that Solo needed as his muscle. And you could have brought Jacob, and even though they've done a great job by Jacob so far, Mm-hmm. Jacob is can cut promos. He can also talk. And so I would have liked to seen him in a position where he does get to talk. Right now, he's supposed to just be a killer. I get that. And they're jamming that over, smacking everybody over the head with that, right? To get that branding out there, that this is who he is and what he can do. But at the same time, he is a good promo. And I know we'll eventually see that when that character starts to evolve a little bit more. But I would have brought Hikuleo in as the muscle and brought Jacob in. First of all, he should be the right-hand man in the very least in that group, if not the leader. But, at least he's on TV.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just happy to see him, getting paid. What happened to my screen?
Save big on all your back-to-school needs, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean ground beef for $3.99 a pound with your card. Then get Oreo cookies, Chips Ahoy, or Kool-Aid jammers for $1.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I don't know. That's a little out of focus. But it should autofocus its way back. Just kind of go towards the lens and back. Guys, the new season of Cobra Kai launched last night on Netflix. None of us have watched it yet.
Hey, my daughters are still rewatching season 5 and will not let me watch season 6. We're going to watch it together until they're done with season 5. So I think tomorrow they're on the last episode as we speak. And so, yeah. So maybe next week we could talk about it.
So five episodes dropped. Then there's going to be 2 more 5 episode drops in this final season. And there's another Karate Kid movie coming out next year. Ralph Macchio and Jackie Chan. Yeah, you didn't know about this?
Oh, I think I remember someone saying that. It's really actually happening, though. Huh?
Yeah, like they're done shooting it, or they're finishing shooting it now. But it's separate Johnny's from Cobra Kai. No, just Macchio. And Jackie Chan is Mr. Han. And a new Karate Kid.
I don't know, man. Yeah, Johnny. I don't know. Johnny kind of makes the show.
Yes. Well, originally,
everyone's going to be thinking about the show with the movie, even if they're not connected.
Well, Netflix is talking about doing some spin-off series of Cobra Kai with some of the characters.
Unless it's Johnny or, unless it's the OGs. I don't really care to see
Miguel.
A Robbie spinoff.
Nobody likes Robbie. Good. Miguel's cool. Yeah. Did you watch Blue Beetle yet? He's Zolo is very good at that.
Who's that?
The kid that plays Miguel.
Oh, no. He's the Blue Beetle. No, I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, it's good. It's a different kind of comic book movie, kind of a throwback, but it's fun. You gonna go see Twisters this weekend?
So I wanted my daughters to see the first one before seeing the new one.
Oh yeah, I've heard you should watch the first one again before watching the new one.
Oh yeah, are they pretty tied in?
I don't think it's super tied in. I know nothing about this confirmed. I don't want anyone to spoil it, but I think they're gonna reveal somebody's the daughter or son of somebody from the first one. There's gonna be something,
Tom McCloskey's asking, did Hillary Slank appear in Cobra Kai? She, at least up until through season 5, she had.
Yeah, I think she's got to appear in the last, she's got to appear in this last season.
Yeah.
I mean, they got Robin Lively back from part 3 in the last season of Cobra Kai. Like, they've gone deep.
Yeah.
And I love that they paid off the mac and cheese joke, because when you watch Karate Kid 3, it was just like the way Ralph Macchio riffs on how much he loves mac and cheese. The fact they did a callback to that last season, I thought was just brilliant as like a little joke, a little Easter egg,
Yeah, I remember that.
You know, when's the last time we watched part 3? I've seen part 3 probably as much as I've seen part 1. I've seen part 2 4 times in my life.
I said a couple years ago, my daughter actually, my youngest daughter liked it better than the first. And I was just like, oh God, what have I done? Where did I go wrong?
Part 3 is so good.
Oh my God, it's terrible.
Now, when I was in Hawaii, somebody was telling me that doubled for Okinawa in part 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is interesting. The Karate Kid part 2.
They
shot it in Hawaii. Yeah.
Yeah.
We went to a Kualoa Ranch, which is where they shot Jurassic Park, Jumanji, Lost. Like, that was amazing. Like, the movie set stuff was cool, but just like you're on this huge nature preserve that looks, you feel like you're in Jurassic Park. It's crazy. Just beautiful. So much greenery. So Matt's rebooting Figuring Out His Camera. He's coming back.
Okay.
Yeah. We got more stories. We got more to talk about.
Yeah. Real quick. Let me talk about the AEW ratings. So AEW this past Wednesday night did their best audience since April, since that CM Punk Jack Perry backstage footage episode. They did 695,000 viewers, a 0.27 in the 18 to 49 demo. The 0.27 was the best since June. They had one episode in June, in early June, that did a 0.28. It's still really strong numbers for AEW Dynamite this past Wednesday. They had that hour-long MJF Will Ospreay match at the beginning. Matt, I don't know, Glenn, I'm taking it you didn't see it because you were in Hawaii.
I've just been catching up, man. I don't know how I'm so tired when I never adjusted the time zone. But how was AEW this week? I heard the Tony Storm storyline is hot right now.
On fire. That storyline is on fire at the moment. The match itself between MJF and Will Ospreay was insanity. Holy crap. Remember back in the day when people used to get on MJF, like even Punk, when he called him like a less famous Miz, which is to which is basically to assert he can't work, but he's a great promo. Bullshit. Yeah. Excuse my French. That dude can, he's always been able to work, but he was able to show a side of himself that he can keep up with all these flip-flopping flyers. Just the same, is just as athletic. He did some impressive stuff, which he doesn't need to do in his matches, obviously. But this was a AEW fans like wet dream come true. This match, trust me on this. As far as, I mean, me, this was a great match for me. I loved it. I was very entertained by it. A lot of people say, oh, there's a lot of no selling, not enough selling. I thought actually, if you watch it back, this was some of the better. MJF, first of all, always sells. But I thought Will Ospreay continues to improve, believe it or not, on his selling. Everybody's like, what are you talking about? He nips up after a pile driver, man. Come on. Yeah. Well, he's always grabbing the body part that the heel is working. And if you watch that match, MJF let Will do a lot of that stuff while putting everything in the right spots of that match, like a good veteran knows how to do with somebody that's as athletic as Will. And also worked his arm. He worked the body part, which we don't see anymore. AEW, during the heat of every match, they don't work a body part unless it's like Danielson or others that have a little bit more experience. They're not just trying to get their shit in, because the rest of them, they just do what we call meat chopping, meaning they don't work a body part. They just do all their offensive moves that they want to do in the middle of the heat, which doesn't have any direct correlation to an injured body part per se. And people nowadays will say, you can't work a body part, it's so boring. No, it's not. Not when done right. And I thought MJF proved his point. Great match by both men. Loved this match. And it was an hour.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I thought for me, I thought it's probably my second favorite match in Dynamite history. Like I thought it was.
Yes. What was your first?
Danielson and Omega.
Same here. Yeah. Those are both Arthur my Ashe, same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that one, it just felt like AEW had arrived, that crowd. I mean, the way they were going crazy at the beginning. It was just awesome.
Loved this match, though. Loved it.
Yeah, definitely check it out. I thought the Mariah May, Tony Storm angle the week before was great. One of the best angles they've done. I did not like the follow-up.
You didn't like her imitating her?
No, I just felt like something so heated needs something more serious, you know, as opposed to, you know,
is this where that character hurts Tony Storm then? Because it is so over the top and outlandish what she's doing as a character, which I love the character, by the way.
I love the character. It's worked, but I feel like this is such a, you know, when you do an angle like that, it's got to be more serious. And I think it's almost like she's got to, I don't know if you get rid of the character or tone it down, maybe stop with all the black and white, just change it some. But
yeah,
that was just such a hot angle that they did that I think you need to get the ha-ha out of it.
With you know, her character, you mean, the black and white?
Yeah.
And, yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. I mean,
that's a good week for AEW. And some other good news, BJ Bethel is reporting that AEW has an agreement in principle with WBD for a new TV deal. Nice. Their exclusive negotiation window is set to expire this coming weekend. No word when it'll be official. So that's obviously a huge deal for AEW.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of uncertainty with WBD, with they're looking to split the company up. Their stock is up, was up like 12% today because of the talks that they'll probably be splitting the company up into two separate companies, one with the TV division, one with Max and the movie division, I believe. So, and then also they have until Monday to match the, great news. And WBD also has until Monday to match the NBA deal. And if they match that, I don't know if that changes the AEW deal at all as far as money goes, because it would be at a $1.8 billion deal with WBD to keep the NBA. So it's been a lot of uncertainty, but it seems like, which I think all of us thought for a long time, that AEW is going to stay with WBD and not go anywhere else.
Hey, I'm confused, Raj, because TNT is done with NBA, that they're not coming back.
No, so it's not completely done. So now they assigned this. The packages are going to NBC, ESPN, and Amazon. Yep. And Amazon has the C package. And so WBD has the right to match that offer that Amazon made. And Amazon
for the
made
C pack. Wait, hang on. For the C package?
For the C package. It'd be $1.8 billion.
Well, then why inside the NBA with Ernie, Kenny, and Charles and Shaq, huge ratings hit.
So that would stay.
Will that come back? Oh, I love that show. Yeah. Hope so. That'd be cool.
Yeah. So Justin Toner bringing up AEW content is showing up on Max. That's not really true. It's showing up in France, and that's been the case for at least a month. So that's not a new thing, and it's not in the U.S.
Why do people want them to be on Max so bad, by the way?
Archives?
Go ahead.
I think people want to be able to watch old pay-per-views, new pay-per-views, preferably without having to shell out $50. I think people want to be able to go back and watch old Dynamites. I think that the idea of having an AEW archive now that the company is like 5 years old, I think it's legitimizing, right? I mean, I'm sure it frustrates you, Matt. It's like, it's not easy. I mean, TNA has a dedicated solution.
Yeah, but we don't have like what you're saying. Yeah, you're right. I gotta go on YouTube if I want to watch my old shit. But TNA, you're right. Yeah.
I mean, but don't you? I mean, just first off, for you having it all, wouldn't you love to be able to just say like, oh, if you're on Prime Video, you can go watch all my old matches. You know, like I mean, the network was great for that. Peacock. See, I think it's an interesting argument between dedicated or being a section of somebody else's, because it's like I miss the WWE Network. I'm sure it's better for them for the pay per views for Peacock, but I used to like having.
I love them. I love that network. Do you think when they get on, when WWE gets on Netflix, will they have like a library that we'll be able to watch old Nitros on?
No, not yet. So they'll still be with Peacock for until 2020. I think it's 2025 when the next year. I'll double check that. It's either.
But then when that's up, what do you think will happen, Raj? When that's up, what do you think will happen?
I think Netflix will want all of it. So Netflix is going to have the whole network for outside of the U.S. So, you know, fans in different countries will be able to get old Nitros and stuff like that. And cool. Glenn, I think you're 100% right. I think AEW fans want something that like what Peacock is with WWE, where they could just go watch the pay-per-views, just pay their subscription fee every month and get the pay-per-views included. You know, the library, the catalog, it's nice and all. But that doesn't add much value. It's the new content that really does. And so
for these streaming companies, of course.
Yeah.
But as a fan.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's
a little bit of both.
And I'm going to tell you right now.
Saturday night's main event being on Peacock.
Yes. Oh, same. Love. Same. Yep.
Yeah.
Given the prohibitive cost of AEW pay-per-views, I'm going to just do a conservative estimate and say that AEW's audience would be 25% higher if you'd been able to watch their pay-per-views through HBO Max all along. There's attrition with wrestling fans that don't want to spend that extra money because WWE convinced
them. They're expensive, those pay-per-views.
Yeah, WWE devalued the idea of a standalone pay-per-view buy to wrestling fans.
Yeah, but I don't think that, because in 2021, their ratings were through the roof and they had been doing the pay-per-views for years at that
point. But I'm telling you, it would be higher if you could just, if it legitimizes them, it does legitimize it.
I don't know, man. UFC seems to be doing pretty well in there.
Let me peel back a little curtain here, Raj, on things. Let's talk about this also. Coverage of AEW pay-per-views and this is blanket. Yeah. This isn't specific to anyone's site. Coverage of AEW pay-per-views also is limited because a lot of sites don't want to spend the money to have to pay three people $50 to reimburse them to watch. I'm serious about this. There is less coverage of AEW pay-per-views. It's not as widespread as WWE. Peacock has almost zero barrier cost to entry if you're an Xfinity subscriber.
I would pay multiple people. You know, I did have to shell out, you know, a few people covering it because you got to pay someone covering it on social, someone on the site.
I know. Raj had to lay off his second butler with all the money he had to spend to reimburse people for AEW pay-per-views.
I just didn't have the butler come on Saturday nights. So I cut that one day out of their pay. it would be great. It would be great if they had a similar deal. But I think a lot of people are worried that what they might do is what UFC is doing with ESPN, is that they are on ESPN Plus, but you still have to pay for the pay-per-view. You could just only buy it through ESPN Plus. So it'd be like Max, you can get the AEW pay-per-views, but you have to order it on Max.
Yeah.
But they don't have that system yet. So it'd be something that they'd have to build basically just for AEW.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like Disney Plus trying to convince us to spend $30 to watch Black Widow at home during the pandemic.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not popular to add that onto a subscription.
We did pay for trolls, but, you know, during the pandemic, but
so speaking of streaming, I just want to cover this quickly. Because I've determined this now. I'm determined when I get on a media call, when I get an interview, and I know there's a lot of really important questions and people argue about what you should ask Triple H or executives. But the question that I have to bring up that is so me for anyone that has been following me in my 8-year journey of hosting podcasts about wrestling is to ask Triple H, why is Cyndi Lauper not in the WWE Hall of Fame? We need to get an answer on this. I was just watching the Cyndi Lauper documentary on Paramount Plus called Let the Canary Sing. And you guys would be shocked. There was like a good 15 minutes in there where it's Piper, Captain Lou Albano. And what's interesting about this is I know we all have talked about how Cyndi Lauper is responsible for, you know, maybe like a third of why we got into wrestling in the mid-80s with the music videos and the crossover and MTV. But her manager at the time actually, I never knew this, credits WWF with Girls Just Want to Have Fun becoming big, saying that radio stations, MTV didn't want to play Cyndi Lauper. And he actually credits Captain Lou Albano for that storyline, that was an interesting way to get people to pay attention to her. And I'd never heard that before.
And that music video with him in it was a really big deal when we were kids.
Yes.
Everybody knew who Captain Lou was when we were kids.
And in the documentary, her actual sister says, like, people all the time think Captain Lou is really their father.
Yeah. Yep. I did hear that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That song, that video, they're both iconic. It's crazy to think that wrestlers had something to do with that because it kind of just shows, and I don't want to get political on here, but we won't talk politics, but did you guys see Hulk Hogan at the Republican National Convention
last night? Yeah, I did.
Total Hogan shtick.
Total Hogan
ripping the shirt off. And look, on NBC afterwards, they said Hulk Hogan, this is the times we live in. They said Hulk Hogan had the best speech so far of the entire Republican National Convention.
To be fair, they're not going to do the Republican National Convention any favors with compliments. That was meant as an insult, obviously.
No, they were being serious. They were saying he was entertaining. The crowd went crazy. And this wasn't MSNBC. This was NBC proper.
They would be
dead serious thinking that that guy.
I'll take it back then.
I mean, Matt, you could probably give a TED talk.
Pessimism. Sorry.
Matt Morgan, you could probably give a TED talk on what professional wrestling taught me about the world of politics and how to communicate effectively to audiences. If you can cut a wrestling promo, communicate your ideas effectively there, you can do it in politics.
That's the biggest part, what you just said. Like, I used to be very shy. Mm-hmm. I was, you know, college athlete playing basketball and stuff in school, but until I took public speaking and got the hang of not being so embarrassed, because I realized everybody was embarrassed to get up and talk, because we all went around the room and everybody would say how they were so terrified to talk in front of others. That made me feel more comfortable.
Yeah.
And then from there, once you become a wrestler, then that cat's way out the bag at that point. If you can get out there in your underwear and talk people into caring about your character somehow. You know what I mean? Then it's a much easier thing to do when it's time to talk truths and not have to think at all, but how you're communicating and you're not nervous when you're doing it. It plays a big part. You're right in that regard.
Yeah. And I think even being able to put ideas and appeal to people, right, in a way that makes it simple and easy to communicate and makes you the messenger. I think there is a lot of overlap. I mean, wrestling. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, Jesse Ventura has said that in the past, too. Like, he really credited his pro wrestling career for the way he communicated in politics.
Yeah.
And I'm going to draw a really weird line here that I've never seen anybody connect in this way before. But I would argue that if you look at Debate Club, you know, and the idea of debate and structured debate outside of politics, wrestling is the nearest thing to that, especially in right modern now. Society.
Brother, especially right now with the divisiveness, right? Between are you right wing, are you left wing? Are you an AEW fan? Are you a WWE fan? Like, it is that divisive now.
Yeah. So
I would argue, it's funny because you see the same arguments too every time with AEW and WWE fans. It's like, oh, you can't get a million. Oh, well, you know.
Yeah. It's a good call.
Yeah, MJF probably crushed it in Debate Club in high school.
Oh, I probably spanked everyone, yeah.
Yeah. But anyhow, so Wendy Richter was all over that documentary. And cool. I just kept thinking, I was like, an AEW can't get her for a cameo in this Toni Storm angle with all the times Tony shouted her out.
Not enough fans watch those. I do. Not the press conferences. What do they call them? What do they call them?
Scrums. Yeah.
So very funny when she does. When she did. Also, the storyline AEW, I also want to point out, I am digging what they're doing with Sasha Banks now. Mercedes Moné.
You know, one thing I did want to bring out with the MJF Will Ospreay thing, because it's, you know, I figured that they're going to do the rematch at Wembley with Will Ospreay winning the title back. But that, just a quick ratings note, that match was doing like mid 800,000s, the whole match, the whole hour.
Wow.
So that was the reason the number was so high. And as a comparison, Swerve versus Okada, the world champion versus Okada, only did 700,000 viewers, 701,000.
No
it's
offense.
It's a huge difference.
There is, and I don't put that on Swerve, by the way. I put that on Okada. Okada does not do enough things on that television show for people to care about him.
I think they overestimate his star power in the U.S. right now. I think that'll change if they continue to build him. I don't think he's been presented as a larger-than-life star by being aligned with the Bucks.
I agree.
Before we wrap, Bigfoot Sneakerhead, $5 super chat saying, can we talk about how stacked WWE NXT's women's division is right now? Julia, Stephanie Vaquer, Lola Vice, and Sol Ruka.
Whoa. Vaquer's in NXT?
She's going to be in NXT.
She's going to be in NXT.
Oh, okay.
She's already wrestled. She wrestled the WWE Mexico live events last weekend.
Well, they're going to be giving the main roster a run for their money because Julia, I watched a bunch of her stuff from Japan. I see why she gets the fanfare she gets. She is awesome. Same with Vaquer. I'm a huge fan of hers already. Love her. And then obviously, was it Sol Ruka? Am I saying that right?
Yeah, Sol.
Sol Ruka. Holy ish. Like, I want to text Glenn every single time I watch one of her clips of how she goes into that finisher.
Yeah.
So impressive. So impressive.
Yeah, no, she's phenomenal. Lola Vice. I mean, right now,
love her too.
Yeah, NXT is so good right now, and a big part of that is the fact the women's division is just there's so much talent there. You know?
Yeah,
men are doing well also, but it's I still feel like it's kind of rebuilding a little bit after some of the recent call ups.
It is. They got with what's his name as champion, a good heel like that.
Oh, with Ethan, yeah,
he's gonna help. A lot of those younger talents
really
start to explore the character development more because Ethan is all about that character.
Yeah.
And who's the young guy, Javon Williams?
Javon Evans.
Javon Evans.
Talk about freaking athlete. Holy shit.
I've only seen him, you know, again, I don't watch NXT as much as I should. They're coming to Denver actually for Heat Wave here in a couple months.
What's his gimmick name, Glenn?
What?
What's his What's his? It's not just Devon Evans. They call him something.
Devon Evans. Young OG. I mean, the bouncy thing. Yeah,
that's bounce, dude. His vertical leap is insane.
And he's 20 years old. So
yes, very. He's very really impressive. Good. He's very.
I mean, again, it's the TNA effect. Look at with the Rascals showing up in NXT. Like everybody losing their mind over this.
That's cool.
Yeah,
it's cool.
It's really good.
It's an interesting time in wrestling.
Yeah, so man, weird. We're spoiled. We are spoiled right now.
Yeah,
yeah. Raj, you regret walking away, selling the site?
No. I like to having a good night's sleep every night, and not having to wake up at 4 with someone texting me about some story breaking. You know, I don't miss it.
Well, there you go. Well, everyone, we're going to wrap up SmackDown starting soon. If something breaks or interesting happens, you'll see us before you know it. Otherwise, same time next week. Matt's at BP, Matt Morgan. I'm at Glenn Rubenstein. Raj is at The Raj Geary. Everyone, have a great, great weekend. We'll catch you back here next time on Gigantic Pop. Take care.
Take care.
Save big on all your back-to-school needs, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean ground beef for $3.99 a pound with your card. Then get Oreo cookies, Chips Ahoy, or Kool-Aid jammers for $1.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.